Now voters went to the polls in two states, West Virginia and Nebraska, yesterday to throw their support behind the remaining candidates for president.
It was a big sweep for the presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump, who won in West Virginia and at the GOP primary in Nebraska.
And Bernie Sanders riding high after his last couple of wins.
Last week we won a really great victory in Indiana. And tonight, it appears that we've won a big, big victory in West Virginia.
There was also a Democratic vote in Nebraska where Hillary Clinton won, but didn't really get to take much away from that.
And there's some drama in the GOP following comments made by Speaker Paul Ryan and former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin.
Joining us now to talk about national politics is Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst at 538.com. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Let's visit West Virginia first. Trump wins. No surprise. Nobody's running against him. It's a done deal now. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, this was going to be one of Trump's best states, even if he had competition that was still actually running. He has done very well in the states along the Appalachian Mountains, the counties in Pennsylvania, the counties in Ohio. So the idea that he was able to win there was no big surprise. But he got all of the delegates coming out of that state, and his march towards 1,237 delegates remains unimpeded, and he shall be the nominee unless something happens in this season, who the heck knows, by June 7th.
And we see Trump sort of pivoting at this point and training his firepower on Hillary Clinton. Here he is taking her on recently.
And how about Hillary Clinton? I was watching her 3 or 4 weeks ago. See, I'm going to put the miners back to work, and she said, I'm going to put the miners and the mines out of business. And then she comes over and she tried to explain her statement. That's a tough one to explain, wouldn't you say?
So far we've got that exchange about the miners, Trump targeting Clinton on that. What is your sense, Harry, of what to expect from that potential, possible, in all likelihood, Trump-Clinton matchup that we're going to see?
I think any and everything will be on limits. Nothing will be off limits as far as Trump is concerned. He'll bring up any and everything. I mean, Clinton gave him a wonderful line with the miners. I mean, she screwed up there. She acknowledged she screwed up. But West Virginia is a state that's been trending away from the Democratic Party over the last decade. It's a state that Donald Trump will easily win in the fall, as he did last night. But in terms of attacks, that's just the beginning of it. At least that was an attack that was based on policy. I expect attacks to be based not just on policy, but about personality as well as we head forward. And these are two candidates who are historically disliked. And based upon what we're seeing so far from Trump and how he's going to conduct his campaign and Clinton with hers, I would say the dislike that the voters will have towards these two candidates will rise ever higher as we head into the fall.
Well, looking at those minor comments, West Virginia was a state that was going to be hard for Clinton running against Bernie Sanders, now still in the primary here. That was kind of an own goal in soccer terms. She, an unforced error in baseball terms, she kind of blew it with that, didn't she?
I mean, yeah, she blew it. Not really a huge surprise, you know, but I should say it's not really a huge surprise that she lost there. Maybe she wouldn't have lost by nearly as much, but the Democratic primary has been largely predictable based upon demographics of states, and West Virginia has the third highest non-Hispanic white population in the country. Bernie Sanders has done very well in states that don't have a large percentage of African Americans in them, like West Virginia. Before the primary, we did a demographic model, and we projected that Bernie Sanders was going to win by double digits, just as he did. But still, maybe she lost a delegate or two because of those comments, and certainly it was an unforced error.
And this was a state where she had done better 8 years ago against Barack Obama, a fact which Bernie Sanders was quick to point out.
And this is a state, West Virginia, where Hillary Clinton won by over 40 points against Barack Obama in 2008.
So obviously that was then. This is now, Harry. But what do you make of the fact that she did so much more poorly this time? And does it portend anything for down the road?
Not really. I mean, look, the primary map is kind of the inverse of what it was in 2008 insofar as that Hillary Clinton back then did very well in states or did very well among white voters, while Barack Obama did very well among black voters. This year, Hillary Clinton does very well among black voters, and Bernie Sanders tends to do better among white voters. So in a state that is as white as West Virginia, it shouldn't be too surprising. Remember, this is a state where Barack Obama struggled to win in 2012 when he didn't really have any competition. He lost 40% of the vote to a felon in Keith Judd, who still was on the ballot last night. I mean, Bernie Sanders, even though he won, you know, by 15, 16 points, still only got 51% of the vote, because there was a whole bunch of voters who went into the polls and said, we're not voting for either one of them. So, yeah, Bernie Sanders won, hats off, but this vote wasn't really so much a pro-Bernie Sanders vote. If you look at the exit polls, it was really more of an anti-Hillary Clinton vote.
What did West Virginia do on delegate counts?
18 to 11. So Bernie Sanders picks up 7 delegates. You know, he's still down by about 280. I think the exact number is actually 278, if you're keeping count. Hillary Clinton, this doesn't really change the math. She's still well on her way to the nomination. And I know the Bernie Sanders folks don't like to include superdelegates, but they do at the end of the day vote. And when you include those, her lead is even larger. She is well on her way to being able to clinch the nomination the same day Donald Trump does, that being June 7th.
We're talking to Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst at 538.com, talking about national politics, the latest on the campaign trail.
And we want to hear from you on this. We're going to continue that conversation. What do you think about the election so far? What do you think of Sarah Palin's recent comments about Speaker Paul Ryan and the election in general? It's unusual, to say the least. What do you make of the way it's shaping up? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send your comment to talk@WPR.org. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our conversation about yesterday's primaries in West Virginia and Nebraska and some internal strife facing the Republican Party.
And we want to hear from you on this. What did you think of last night's results? If you're a Republican, what would you like to see from your party now that Donald Trump is the presumptive nominee? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us your comments at talk@WPR.org.
Harry Enten is still with us. He's senior political writer and analyst at 538.com. Harry, let's look at the Republican Party. Paul Ryan and others meeting, I think, with Donald Trump tomorrow to try to come to some kind of consensus that allow them to work together in an election, maybe under the Trump presidency. What do you expect from tomorrow?
I don't know. I do not know. This is a very interesting thing. Look, I think that there are a lot of people within the Republican Party who would have preferred that Donald Trump not be the nominee, but he is going to be the nominee. And most of them have recognized that fact and decided that they are a member of the Republican Party, ergo they're going to support the nominee. However, there are holdouts who may be putting their own ideology, which is often intertwined with party, conservatives, of course, being Republicans, they're going to put their ideology above their party. And Paul Ryan is a conservative, and Donald Trump is not that. And I think, you know, Trump also has made some comments about minorities and women and David Duke along the campaign trail that reports indicate that Paul Ryan did not truly appreciate. And so it's going to be very interesting to see if Paul Ryan is going to be able to come and say, you know what, I'm a Republican, I'm going to support the Republican nominee. But there's going to be a lot of pressure on both sides, and Ryan, both from conservatives who hate Trump and conservatives or Republicans who want the base to rally around Trump, as to where Ryan will actually end up going.
And Speaker Ryan spoke recently with some staff from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and they asked him about his previous comments about Donald Trump and the GOP. Here's a little bit of what he said.
I want to help unify our party so that we're at full strength so that we can defeat Hillary Clinton. And I believe between now and July, we will be able to figure out how to unify our party.
If he asked you to step down as chair of the convention, would you?
I'll do whatever he's the nominee. I'll do whatever he wants with respect to the convention. The point I would make is, I just think it's important that all wings of the party come together to get ourselves at full strength.
So Paul Ryan saying he thinks that the party can be unified between now and July. I guess it seems sort of far away, but it also seems like a tall order. How likely do you think it is, Harry, that the party will be unified by the time the convention rolls around?
I mean, if you look at the polls that that have been produced over the last week since Trump got the nomination, he has, in fact, seen some bump in his numbers, and a large part of that are Republican voters who otherwise were not going to vote, who said they weren't going to vote for Trump, coming back to his side. If politicians follow where the voters are, we should see some coalescing around Trump. But I just can't get across how unusual it is that the Speaker of the House doesn't back his party's nominee for president immediately. I mean, this is crazy. I've never seen anything like this. Then again, I've never seen anything like this year before. They could unify, but there's clearly some bruises that need to be covered over, at least, you know, put a Band-Aid on it. But Band-Aids have a way of falling off, so it's going to be very interesting to see, even if they're able to coalesce, whether that holds together, depending on what comments Trump makes on the campaign trail. And knowing Donald Trump, he has an ability to make comments that I wouldn't have even thought that would be possible for a politician to make.
I want to bring in a caller now. We'll go to Emery in Milwaukee. Emery, hi.
Hello, thank you. I think it's commonly accepted or understood that with all the recent polls about November matchups, that pretty consistently Bernie competes better against Trump than Hillary does. And I know there's time, and I know that once it's a head-to-head, attacks will change or what have you. But I don't see Hillary becoming a better competitor against Trump over that time. Maybe numbers go up and down, but I don't see a flip there happening. And then to my question, this week, Steve Inskeep was interviewing Bernie Sanders, asked Bernie if he thought that a Bernie presidency would be better than a Democratic presidency, you know, which is worth fighting for more. I kind of want to flip that rhetorically and ask your guest if he thinks Hillary's side thinks that a Hillary presidency is more important than a Democratic presidency, given Trump.
Emery, I got you, Emery. Thanks for the call. So the first point there, that a lot of people saying Sanders in polls does better against Trump than Clinton.
I mean, it's true. The polls are the polls. Sanders does do better against Trump than Hillary Clinton does. But as your caller hinted at, the question is whether or not that would hold when Bernie Sanders was attacked. I mean, for the most part, Bernie Sanders has not been attacked during this campaign. So, you know, who knows if those numbers would hold up. I think I would say two things. Number one, to that, polls at this point haven't been all that predictive when an incumbent isn't running. But the second kind of point is that we have sort of seen this before. I mean, McCain did better in the polls than George Bush in 2000. In 1984, Gary Hart did better than Walter Mondale in the polls against Ronald Reagan. So there is some precedent for, you know, candidates who haven't been, you know, at the head of their party, who is sort of the second runner, doing better in the general election polls. But we never have a chance to really run those elections and see whether or not those candidates would have actually done better. Maybe Bernie Sanders would do better in the fall. Hillary Clinton's numbers, her favorable ratings are god-awful. So it's possible that Bernie Sanders would do better in the fall. We're just never going to get a real chance to test that hypothesis.
We'll leave it there for now, Harry. Thanks, as always.
Thank you.
That's Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.com, looking at the latest on the campaign trail.
Coming up after the news, an investigative reporter looks at the use of drones in targeted killings as part of American anti-terrorist operations.
And you can support conversations like these with your pledge right now to Wisconsin Public Radio. You do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Looking for 6 more pledges from you in the next 30 minutes. We can do it together. Thanks for that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Farah. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.